Welcome back to the Level Up Anime Podcast with your co-host Shara and your other co-host Aziz, a mutual connoisseur of manga, anime, you know, a lover of JRPGs, and a lover of Mother Kafka from Honkai Star Rail. What's up, Aziz?
What's up? Yes, I do. It's funny because when it comes to Star Rail, unlike my previous addiction to Genshin, Star Rail is a game I did not spend a whole lot of money on, and I've like been able to control myself. But somehow, some way, I've managed to still get like a bunch of copies of Kafka, and I got like her signature weapon and everything. So I'm like highly invested in her and every character that has to do with her. I know like maybe two people in the audience are gonna understand what we're talking about, but
right,
you know, it's fine. How are you doing though, Shara?
I'm doing good. I've been catching up on my animes and manga and whatnot. And for the people that actually tuned into the last episode, so our pilot, Aziz was very nice to call me out on my love slash disinterest, the sign of affection, the current shoujo of the season.
I mean, hey, look, I told you during the episode that we have to let the listeners know what they're getting into.
And yeah, my hot takes are definitely hot, as some people have mentioned in my DMs afterwards, which it's all good. I love developing discussions with other like-minded, but also contrasted-minded people, which is really cool. I like having discussions regardless of taste. But for those that have tuned in and are wondering about my takes for the recent episodes, because I finally caught up, episode 8 was actually really good. Like, I'm actually surprised.
Wait, how so?
So, like, okay, to make a long story even longer, the main nice. Character, it's me, like, the gray-haired dude, and Yuki, like, the pink-haired girl. I'm not obsessed with them because their romance is pretty quick. It kind of just kind of cuts to the chase. Like, okay, they like each other. Now they're going out. Now doing a bunch of cutesy things. I like growth. I like a little slow burn. Back in my day when I was a little weeb, they were all slow burn shoujos. So like episode 8 was about a completely different couple, like the side couple. And they're actually like slow burn. There's some growth. There's some development. And, like, knowing how this show is going to go, they're never going to talk about them again. But I really enjoyed episode 8, surprisingly enough. I was, like, watching, like, up to 20 minutes. I did not know, like, the time went by that fast. It's amazing.
Okay. I have two comments slash questions, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess number one, for the audience, our listeners who may not know what shoujo means, because I think we forgot to explain it last episode. Can you go ahead and explain what a shoujo is?
Excellent question. So shoujo, for those that are not familiar with it, is essentially like any type of anime, be it romance, slice of life, whatever, that's targeted towards younger women. Like, I would say like around like less than 16, but like it doesn't mean like somebody my age wouldn't enjoy it though. It's just, you know, targeted to that audience, that's all. Yeah.
Yeah, fair point. I mean, you can still be a male and enjoy shoujo. Yeah. Like, I enjoy a good shoujo.
I love Fruits Basket.
Fruits Basket is one of the greatest anime that I've ever seen. But yeah, I mean, I think like the average shoujo, maybe I might not enjoy as much as you would. But if something is good, something is good. That's always the way I've looked at it. Okay, that out of the way. How can you have a slow burn romance in 20 minutes?
I don't know. It's like watching like an anime movie like Suzume or like Your Name or whatnot. It happens when like
yeah. Your voice was so high pitched on that the microphone didn't catch it.
This happens when you have a high frequency voice. Suzume.
Suzume.
Oh my gosh, but yeah, my laughs go up so high, guys, that like it doesn't catch. Hence why it sounds like off and on sometimes. My apologies for laughing too high.
We gotta get Shara a better mic. It's all good.
But yeah, I'm using this dinky wired AirPods and stuff right now. Yeah, dude, so bad.
She looks like she should be doing like an ASMR TikTok.
Just sniff into the mic. But anyways, that's just a little messaging that you're doing. Rate us 5 stars. Rate us 5 stars. All the brain tingles. But anyways, what was your question again? I already lost track.
Yeah, fair point. My question is, you had 7 episodes of the main couple and were complaining about how it was too fast. And then in one episode, a 24-minute episode, you had a slow burn romance. I need you to explain how that works.
I think like when it comes to the quality of certain couples and stuff. Like, it really shines. So, to explain that, I guess, is, like, you see in this episode, episode 8, and without spoiling it, it talks about, like, their childhood, their high school, like, experiences, like, all the small little things that built up to them in their college years, which, like, this whole anime is based on them in college, essentially. Obviously, I'm not going to say who the couple is and whatnot, but it shows all those small little moments that add up together and cause you to grow with the character. So, like I was mentioning before, with, like, a movie like Suzume or Your Name, all this happens within the span of, like, maybe 2 hours, I would say, 2.5 hours, a usual anime movie. And, like, you really bond with the characters, you cry over them, like, whatnot and so forth. But, like, be able to have, like, such storytelling happening within that span is because of all those little moments that add up together and stuff. But with the main couple inside of your affection, I feel it just, like, happens so sporadically and so quickly. You don't have, there's a lack of moments, I guess, that I miss. And the fact that episode 8 was able to shine on those moments from the early childhood to high school and so forth was really refreshing.
So I guess even in that short period of time, you were still able to see the evolution of their affection towards each other. Some exactly. May, some may say the signs of their affection.
The signs of affection. Oh, zinger. Dad jokes in you are coming out.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, the build-up for sure and the evolution and character development. We do love some good character development.
No, agreed. I think we feel that way about just about any type of anime, right?
Yeah. But yeah, just a little update for me that I'm looking forward to the next couple episodes because the season's almost done. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I mean, we're going to have to talk sooner than later about like our thoughts on this season. But I guess just to go back to the other parts of last episode real quick, we'd just like to thank everybody who tuned in to last episode and shared our page and our social media. And if you haven't yet, you like the content, go follow us on Instagram at Level Up Anime Pod. Follow us on TikTok if you're on TikTok at Level Up Anime Pod. It would mean a lot to us. Follow us on Spotify because chances are that's where you're listening to this. And that would mean so much to us because we're trying to grow a listener base. We want to hear feedback from you guys, whether it's about anime itself and getting into some discussions, just like Shara was talking about with A Sign of Affection. Whether it's just to tell us like, hey, we really like that you guys did this. We think you guys could improve on this, so on and so forth. We're just starting out here. We're just having fun talking to each other, but we're always down to improve and keep growing.
Yeah, totally. It's a discussion. And that's the main reason why we're doing this podcast in the first place. Not just between the two of us, but you know, other nerds like us. That's the fun part about it.
Exactly. We're all about that character development, just like in our anime.
Exactly. Nice. Like a little segue. But right. With that being said, what's this episode about? That's a great question. If you haven't read the title, which would be surprising at this point, we're going to be talking about starter kids. So not just about shoujo, but other anime that we think would be interesting for people that are trying to get into this media, this form of entertainment, some would say. The little one-inch barrier that is the subtitles that some people are too scared to jump over.
Like the director of Parasite, where he was like, yo, if Western media, Western viewers were able to just take that jump and watch stuff with subtitles, there is a whole new world of entertainment that they could enjoy.
Exactly. But you say that, I literally have the quote up here right now.
We did not plan that. Like, our minds were just on the same page. Go ahead, read it out.
In sync. So yeah, as he's saying, the director of Parasite, this Korean like movie essentially, that is like one of my literal top favorite movies of all time. I talk about all the time to people. The director is Bong Joon-ho. And since essentially like he won like best movie of the year for that year, the Oscars. And one of my favorite quotes of all time, because it transcends not just Korean dramas and Korean movies, obviously, but anything that's not somebody's first language and you have to have subtitles, really emphasizes the plethora of beautiful like cinema and like entertainment that you can observe and obtain just by reading subtitles and not being uncomfortable by that. And the quote goes like this. Essentially, you summarize it, but I love the quote, and it goes like this: once you overcome the 1-inch tall barrier of subtitles, you'll be introduced to so many more amazing films, or anime in this case. And that's the whole essence of this episode, is be able to show you guys other animes that we think would be a great way to dip your toes into this world of entertainment.
Yeah, that's honestly the best way to put it. I want a quick shout out to my brother Omar, because originally this was his idea and my idea for sport, like our Sports and Idioms podcast, like years and years ago. We never got to actually end up doing it, but I do want to give him credit. And I want to say that, oh, if you're listening to this, just come on the pod on a later episode. You can give your starter kit. We can talk about a whole lot of other anime too. Don't want you to feel like we just stole the idea.
You'll make a whole guest appearance.
But that being said, Char, like, how are we gonna kind of like, what are our credentials towards, you know, deciding whether or not an anime is like starter kit material, right? Because I think when someone recommends an anime to someone else, it might just be like one of their favorite anime, but not necessarily like objectively the best anime to get someone into anime. So like, what are we thinking when we're just saying, hey, this is what we believe are a good list of anime to try out to give you like a good idea of what this realm is all about?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Like, if you're to ask me my top 10 favorite anime of all time, it's very, very different from the animes that I would suggest to somebody that's new. Like, I have a lot of friends that ask me about like what anime they should start off with, or anime movie they could start off with, and it's very different from my top 10, because my top 10 are my biases, obviously, like my personal favorites and personal favorite themes and characters and whatnot. But when it comes to like suggesting an anime to someone, often the biggest thing is catering it towards that person's interest. Like, if they really like action, I suggest them an action anime. Or if they're like really into romance and something cute, I show them like something like really like adorable and like shoujo-y in that sense as well. But the biggest thing for me is finding an anime that's accessible. Like, it's not like super long, like 1,000+ episodes, like One Piece. Or like not too short, like maybe like one episode, like one-off OVA, because that's not going to be something that's going to grab your attention as much. So something accessible, something easy to pick up. It really just depends on that person specifically. But I don't know what your thoughts is when you suggest anime to people.
No, it's something very similar. Obviously, like, you go with what you believe that person's taste is, right? Mm-hmm. So if, like you said, like with the example of if that person really wants to watch like action or fantasy or something, I might not recommend them a high school romance anime. But if they're the opposite and they're like, yeah, I kind of like softer stuff, I want to see some romance, I'll probably recommend them a high school romance over like, hey, go watch Naruto or something, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree. I think for me, the big thing is, like you said, accessibility. I think length of the anime, like you said, probably won't recommend something like One Piece as much as I want to, because One Piece is so good.
We're going to have a conversation about this later, aren't we?
I'm catching up to it right now, and oh my god, it's so peak. But like, you know, I'd left it off the list, but I'm thinking to recommend anime that are short but complete. So something that it gets the job done, it gives you like a good idea of what this genre is about, but you don't feel like there's a whole lot of loose ends at the end, and you're like, hey, you know what? I didn't know that there were stories like this in animated form, right? Like, this is something that I would have expected out of like a feature film, or something I would have expected out of like a TV show on HBO or something. And, you know, the reality is like anime, because it's animated and because it's so creative, like, allows for a lot of different types of stories that you may not have thought were possible.
Absolutely. Because when I talk to people, like, even since high school, anime is more than just Naruto running or, like, Tentacle or whatever. Obviously, there's, like, beautiful stories that haven't been told in other types of, like, cinema or entertainment in the Western world and stuff. And that goes to show in, like, Japanese, like, entertainment in this sense when it comes to animation. Because a lot of people think of it as like it's for kids or something, it's like a cartoon, but a lot of the themes and a lot of the topics that anime hits on is so complex and so deep set, which we'll talk about a bit when we mention like our starter kits and stuff. But yeah, a lot of it is stuff that you wouldn't really see in other types of entertainment, like Aziz was saying. So we're excited to share that with you in a second.
Yeah, so before we start, Char, let's talk about like how we're gonna organize this so that people can follow along.
Yeah, so essentially we'll have like 5 different animes that we're going to suggest for a starter kit. So starting from our 5th. So for the 5th one, Aziz will mention one that he would suggest, and then I would mention my 5th and my personal starter kit. We go on to the 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and then some honorable mentions before we get to our very first suggestion for both of us.
Oh, wow. So we're going to go with some suspense. Okay.
Yes. Duh.
All right. I'm down for that. Okay, without further ado, let's get going, huh?
Let's go!
All right, so to start things out, I'm going to go with one of my all-time favorites. Now, we said that the starter kit isn't going to be our top 10 anime or something like that, or top 5 anime of all time. But that doesn't mean that some of our all-time favorite anime aren't also really good introductory anime. So with number 5, I'm going with a classic, Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, an oldie but a goodie. Nice. You're calling yourself out, by the way, for being old.
Listen, I know Bebop came out in the 90s, and part of my affection for it is the fact that like I watched it way back like in high school, or like, yeah, I think it was like in high school that I watched Bebop.
You're still aging yourself now.
I know, right? I was not in high school in the 90s, guys. All right, I'm not that old. Not to say that anybody is super old if they did, but I mean, I do remember seeing it a little bit on Toonami on the weekends, like growing up, but I didn't watch all of it until like high school. And I've got to say, like, it's a really good introduction in the sense that, like, yes, it's a classic, and you might look at it now and it seems like, oh, it's like you can see similar things happen in existing anime, but like, you got to know where the origin is from, you know? You got to know what started all of this. And like, premise of Cowboy Bebop is super cool. It's a slice of life type of anime, meaning that it's episodic in nature. There might be like little mini arcs where it's like two episodes may tell a story, or like one episode tells a story, but it's essentially about a cast of characters as like the cast grows as the show goes on. But it starts out with two guys, Spike Spiegel, Jet Black. They are space bounty hunters. So it's like this whole like cool mishmash of like old Western, but also like bounty hunters, and they're in space.
Ooh, that sounds so cool.
Right? And it works. Like, I know it sounds like such a weird mix.
It's anime.
Like pineapple on pizza or something, but it works.
I love it. You know what? Like you said before, it's like one of the founding fathers of anime, along with like Dragon Ball Z and Akira and stuff. Like, you can see when you watch this, yep, and you watch like the newer modern anime, you're like, wait, I can see them taking like tidbits from the OGs.
Like, even though it came out almost 30 years ago, the animation is still like top quality. The story is solid. Like, I know it's like an episodic thing, but like, there's an overarching plot through all this, and as you kind of grow with the characters, and you start to, you got your badass character in Spike, you got like your like more mature cool character in Jet, and then you've got other characters that fit like different archetypes as the show goes on. But you know, I don't want to spoil, but you watch it and it's, yeah, I mean there's not much more to say other than like it all fits really well. And for something that seems like there isn't like a overarching story, there ends up being one, and the finale really, really seals the deal and makes you like think, like when you end it, like, wow, that was a great use of time. That was a great overall story, and I'm gonna miss it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very complete anime along with everything else that you said. And like, what's really cool, like you said, because it's a slice of life, but also like the episodes are episodic in nature, so you can like, yep, watch it and then you can stop and not feel like, oh my gosh, I have to binge like the rest of it, which is like, obviously you would want to binge the rest of it because it's that good, but you don't feel like hard hammered to have to finish a certain number of episodes. You can finish one, feel, you know, complete, feel like happy that the episode's finished and very conclusive, and then continuing on the next day. It's very accessible in that manner.
Yeah, it's like a very much a choose your own adventure. Like, do you feel like binging this over a weekend? Go for it. You feel like it's just like, yeah, you know, I've got half an hour every day that I can watch TV, so I just want to like put on something quick, like kind of like enjoy it slowly like that. That's the type of show we're talking about here. And that's what makes it really fit like our criteria and what we believe is starter kit anime material. So that's all I got to say about Bebop. Shara, what's your number 5?
Okay, mine is very parallel, not parallel, very contrasting with what you said, because mine is not episodic whatsoever, funny enough. And it's not complete yet. It's actually still ongoing. And it is Jujutsu Kaisen.
Oh, interesting choice here, because we're thinking like, okay, like short, complete anime and like stuff that some people might not have heard of, or like they may have heard of, but they're like some OGs. But like, JJK is the new kid on the block. And it's won a lot of awards. Like the first season got the Crunchyroll Anime of the Year Award. The second season just got the Crunchyroll Anime of the Year Award. So this is a mainstream anime that I'm sure a lot of people have heard of, but why are you recommending this as a good starter anime?
It's essentially a lot of aspects that the OG, which is Cowboy Bebop, talks about. It's like, it's very action-packed, it's very fun, the characters are really cool, and you can connect with some of them. You love the relationship between the characters, and you can grow with them. But the fact that it's a new kid on the block and does all that is really dope. The thing is, and this is what some people might argue with me about, it's like, hey, it's not complete, though. How do you know it's going to be that good? And like, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know if it's going to be amazing, because it's not concluded yet. Even the manga's not concluded yet, right? The manga is a different story, but I'm just talking about the anime in isolation. But the animation itself is beautiful. The characters, like I said, are beautiful. And it's just like a really easy, action-packed anime that doesn't really have a dull moment. And to give like a little bit of context toward what Jujutsu Kaisen is, because obviously like not everybody knows what it is, even though it's like new kid on the block. It's essentially about this main character called Yuji Itadori. And pretty much like he's like your regular old high school kid. He's part of like a cult club where they like try and like call upon spirits and stuff. Like he thought he'd just be funny and cool. And then his world turns upside down essentially when he like runs into people called like curse users. And essentially like the curse users kind of manipulate curses within the world. And curses themselves are beings or formations made from human malice and negativity. But Yuji himself is like, okay, what's going on? He ends up swallowing something, like an item, I'm not gonna spoil. He ends up swallowing something during one of the battles in the very first episode that has like a huge amount of cursed energy, which is owned by one of the biggest baddies of this anime specifically. And he pretty much gains powers that allows him to also manipulate curses, but also he's like connected to the sorcerer in a way too. Again, it sounds very confusing at first, but because there's so much jam-packed the first episode, you can't help but be hooked to it. And I just love it for that reason. Also, for the other people that may be into anime for different reasons, there's lots of good husbandos and waifus. Just letting you know, wink, wink.
That's, I mean, that's one way to hook people to anime. I guess, like, what I was going to say was interesting about Jujutsu Kaisen, though, is, like, I think a lot of people have this prejudice that, like, oh, it's going to be, like, a mainstream action anime. It's probably just, like, aimed towards kids. Like, aims towards, like, younger men, right? Like high, you know, middle schoolers or high schoolers. It's going to be like this happy go lucky, all about friendship, and the, you know, the good guys are always going to win. And that's not the tone that Jujutsu Kaisen has at all. It's very much a darker anime. I don't think that's really spoiling anything, given that it's about curses.
No,
but yeah. You kind of see how things go, and as like the plot thickens, so to speak, it's got a lot of good twists in there. And I agree. I do think that given its popularity and, you know, given how many people who may not watch a lot of anime but still would watch Jujutsu Kaisen, probably a good spot for the starter kit.
The reason why I test Jujutsu Kaisen so much, even though it's not complete, is because, like, I remember when I was, like, in college and stuff, I had a friend of mine, actually, that really did not like anime. Like, she was very against anime. She had older siblings who were like, yeah, it's, like, immature. I see my older siblings into anime, but it just seems immature and, like, you know, it's for kids and stuff. Then she really wanted to, like, get to know me and, like, connect and stuff. So I was like, hey, like, I really like anime. Do you watch anime together? So we started watching Jujutsu Kaisen. She actually really got, like, into it. Like, she, like, thought it was, like, really cool. Like, the characters were really cool. A lot of action. She felt really hooked. To the point where she was the one who suggested, hey, do you want to watch the movie with me? Because I don't know anybody else who wants to watch the movie with me. And I was like, no, yes! And I felt so proud of myself. So, like, the fact that somebody who was anti-anime got into it because of Jujutsu Kaisen made me really happy to hear. And that's why I really want to add this to my list personally.
Now I'm surprised that it's not higher up your list.
This is all good anime. Wink, wink.
Definitely. All right. So I'll take the reins now. And for my number four, we're going to go with kind of a similar vibe, only this show is much shorter and ends. And that is Cyberpunk Edgerunners. It was like the 2022 Crunchyroll Anime of the Year. It's super accessible because it's just on Netflix. Even if you're not familiar with the video game Cyberpunk, because I mean, I'm familiar with the game, but I never played it or anything, so I don't know too much of the story. Still a very enjoyable watch. And the reason why I'm recommending it as my number four slot is that it's 12 episodes. It's really, like, really cool artistic animation. Like, the animation studio that does it, Trigger, they have a knack for just animating some, just making some really cool artistic choices with the anime that they end up doing. And Cyberpunk is probably, like, when it comes to that aspect of things, is probably, like, at the top of, like, some of their best work.
I remember watching it with you, and, like, oh my goodness, like, I had so many different emotions watching it, like, hypeness, but also, like, crying about certain parts, and, like, the emotional aspects of it, when you grow with these characters over such a short time span, it kind of goes into, like, our intro, like, there's so many moments that happen between the characters, and the development within themselves, that, like, really shines at the very end about, like, how they achieve, like, their personal goals and aspirations. And it's, like, really dope to see it in this, like, supernatural world as well. Obviously, it's really fun.
It's kind of like a prequel to the video games, but because it's kind of a prequel to the video games, it does a pretty good job of kind of, like, introducing you to the world and kind of the premise of everything. So it does that really well. It also, like, it's a bit of, again, a darker anime. It's a bit more, like, of a mature anime. I don't think I would recommend it maybe to some of the youth, but if you're, you know, if you're a little bit older, definitely recommend it. Very interesting plot. Great, like Shara said, great cast of characters and a great range of emotions that you're going to feel watching it all in 12 episodes. So I think that, with that said, definitely deserves a spot on the starter kit and something I'd recommend.
I mean, as somebody who really enjoyed the video game, like, the fact that it was so good in isolation really goes to show that it's such good storytelling. And there's a reason why I went Anime of the Year the past year.
I kind of wish that the video games weren't so glitchy when, because I was so hyped up for Cyberpunk, and then I, like, all the glitches were going on. I was like, eh, I'll just wait until the patches come out for this and they fix everything up. And then that waiting just kind of killed my, like, desire to play the game, and then I never got around to it. But after watching Edgerunners, then I started thinking, maybe I should take some time to play the game. Unfortunately, I have, like, no free time, so all my free time goes to watching anime. So I haven't got around to it yet, but maybe one day.
Exactly. I mean, I obviously love the games because of the glitches, because they're so memeable. But in and of itself, like, the storytelling's really good in the animation, in the anime and stuff. So, yeah. But my fourth is honestly very, very different. I'm not going to lie. It's for the girlies, honestly. Because as funny as it sounds, like, a lot of my friends that are, like, into anime are dudes. But when a girl comes to me and asks about anime, I'm like, let me tell you all the good shoujo. But because, like, people my age, obviously, like, we don't want to only watch shoujo. There's other types of forms of anime for women called josei, and that's for older women, essentially. So, like, it's not that it's, like, 18 plus and, like, it has, like, those more adult topics and stuff. It's more, like, the topics themselves are more complex and more thematic and about, like, the challenges that older women have to go through, like college or romance or the friendships that we have in our late 20s to early 30s and whatnot. That's what I really love about josei, because I feel connected in that sense. So when the girls ask me about what anime they was want to be suggested, and it's not action, it's something a bit more slower, but something more methodical, and something more thoughtful in that sense, I suggest Nana, another big oldie.
Okay,
now, I'm aging myself.
Yeah, no, interesting. Nana's an anime that I've heard of. I know it's, like, it's rated very high, but I never watched it. So can you give me, like, a quick summary of what it's about?
Yeah, so Nana essentially is about two girls. And conveniently, they're both named Nana. So one Nana, like, she's all dressed in black. She's, like, a rock star. She's, like, really feisty and cool and wants to pursue her dreams of being, like, a musician. And then the other Nana's a bit more quiet, naive about life. You know, she's in college. She's just trying to figure herself out. Like, she dresses in frills or whatever. They're very much opposites. But they both want to move to Tokyo to do more with their life. They want to pursue bigger dreams. For her, like, Nana, the feisty one, she wants to become a musician, like I said. So she actually breaks up with her boyfriend, who, like, absolutely loves her. But she's like, no, I want to pursue my dreams as a musician. If you don't want to move with me, this is something that's more important to me. So
Damn.
And then the other Nana, you know, she's trying to chase love. She's, like, chasing after all her crushes, trying to find love. But because of that, she's not really putting the love into herself. So the boyfriend that she had at the time, like, breaks up with her, cheats on her. Like, very different dynamic than other Nana. So she's going to Tokyo trying to find herself in general, find love that appreciates her. But at the same time, they're trying to love themselves in different ways, which is really cool. And conveniently, on the trip to Tokyo in the train, they sit beside each other. And they're like, wait, your name's Nana? Yeah, my name's Nana too. Where are you going, Tokyo? Very convenient. And conveniently, they're like, hey, you know what? Because we're both trying to figure each other out and figure ourselves out and stuff, let's, like, you know, get an apartment together and, you know, live life and build this really cool, dope female friendship. And I think that's really amazing to see that a Josie doesn't focus only on romance, but about the friendships we make along the way. And it's like super cute. And I just really love this coming of age drama that's more related to older women's struggles and pursuing one's dreams both for yourself and for the people around you. And that there's hardships that happen. There's problems along the way with achieving those goals. And like the ending, because the manga never finished, because unfortunately the mangaka, so manga means like manga artist or manga author, is currently sick and has not been able to continue the manga, they finished the anime at like a completion point. So it's not manga original. It's anime original, essentially. But the anime original ending in and of itself is so bittersweet and beautiful because it's so realistic. And that's why I always connect so much to it, because even when I watched it in high school, I was like, wow, this is very deep. Like, I'm sad, but also happy for the characters. Such a mix of emotions that is very grown up of itself and really talks about those mature topics that happen in your late 20s, early 30s. And that's why I love it so much. And that's why I suggest it to a lot of not only female friends, but male friends too. But definitely a bunch of girlies that want like more feminine take on anime.
No, because I think that the lesson transcends, you know, whatever gender you associate yourself with, right? Because I think everybody, it's a coming of age story, like you said. Well, I guess I wouldn't know, but I'm going based off of the summary that you just gave me. But I think a coming of age story is something anybody can relate to, regardless of like what path. Like, I like that the two Nanas, despite sharing the same name, are two completely different people, but they still have that same issue, if you will, of like, hey, I'm at an age where I need to find myself, despite coming from completely different backgrounds. And, you know, now we're going to put ourselves out of our comfort zones to try to figure out who we are. And even though like we come from two different backgrounds, like we can still relate on that aspect. And, you know, that's pretty dope.
Exactly, right? Like, the only reason I suggest it to girls because it's like has a more feminine take and female friendships in general. So you have that connection. But I definitely suggest it to anyone, honestly. I suggest it to you, Aziz. So like, it goes to show like anime really transcends like anything else, like those barriers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Let's let's move on to the number three on my list.
Ooh, tell me.
And that's another anime that kind of transcends barriers, if you will. It transcends time.
Okay.
And that is Steins Gate.
My god, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's another one of my favorite anime of all time. But I think it's another one that fits kind of the criteria that we established at the beginning, where it's a shorter anime. It's only 24 episodes, I believe.
It's 24, 5, and then there's Steins Gate 0. But yeah, it's like around that. Yeah.
Which I still have to watch Steins Gate 0. But I mean, without watching Steins Gate 0, the story is complete. And Steins Gate 0 is more of just like some additional stuff that happens, but it's more of like on the side. But Steins Gate itself is an amazing anime. It's kind of another coming of age story in a sense, right? With the main character kind of finding himself. So he kind of starts out and he has a dream of, you know, being a mad scientist, right? And like a physicist and stuff. And the thing is, he's kind of, because of his like kind of outlandish ideas and stuff like that, like not a lot of people really take him seriously. But his goal is he wants to be able to build a time machine. And then a few episodes later, he kind of does it on accident. And but doing that, there's a lot that happens when you kind of accidentally figure out how to make a time machine. And so Steins Gate's all about the story of kind of the shenanigans that kind of, without spoiling too much, right? It's kind of the shenanigans that kind of happen afterwards. But despite the fact that it came out, what, maybe 12 or 13 years ago at this point, like the animation and the art is really solid. You can tell that like it's, you know, it's from a visual novel with the way that the art style is and stuff, but it's really beautiful. And the cast of characters is super deep and they're really, really, like, not only is the cast itself deep, but like each character has a lot of depth to them. It's a great story. It does not necessarily go the way you think. It's a bit of a slow starter, and it kind of catches you by surprise with some of the directions that it ends up taking. But man, is it a fun ride. And so it's definitely something that when you think of anime, this is not the type of story that you're thinking of, which is why I have to recommend it.
And the fact it came from like a visual novel in and of itself and still so complete, like goes to show how great the storytelling is. But for those people that don't know what a visual novel is, could you explain that to them?
Oh, yeah. A visual novel is a form of media, if you will. Usually like a, I guess you can kind of call them a game, right? Mm-hmm. But essentially it's like reading a story, but kind of at your own pace because you're clicking as like the story goes on. And then you have, you know, pictures of like the characters that are talking, and you can kind of, so you go through the story and you make choices. It's like a choose your own adventure story, right? Like, do you remember what was his name? R.L. Stine, Goosebumps?
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember Goosebumps as a kid, where you can kind of like, you read like a few pages and then it's like, all right, make a choice. If you choose this choice, jump to page 84. If you make this choice, jump to 278, right? Visual novels kind of like that, only with pictures.
And
that's what makes it visual, right? And what's cool about this medium is that you can tell the same story in a ton of different ways based on the choices that you make. When these things are animated, usually they might go with some of the not so good choices, but they generally, like, ultimately will end up taking you down the correct choices, and then what happens with the story after that.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And like the fact that like there's a myriad of choices that could happen within the visual novel, and like they're able to pick like a certain path for the anime, because obviously you say every single path possible in the anime, because that would be like 3,000 episodes at that point. But the fact that Steins Gate was able to do that and like choose one path but still make such a beautiful complete story, and then have a side anime called like Steins Gate Zero, which like was another path but not really, and like obviously not to spoil Z either and anybody else, but the fact that you're able to do that in and of itself is like amazing. And like, I love that you brought up Steins Gate, because it's like one of my top 10 favorite anime, spoiler, but top 10 favorite animes of all time, because it's same. Like so time trippy. Like, there's like, obviously I don't want to spoil it obviously again, but like the time trippiness is just really crazy to see, and like the ability to talk about time travel in such a concise but realistic way is something beyond its time, and stands the test of time because of that.
Very fitting. I guess like my last bit about Steins Gate is like, what's so cool about Steins Gate 2 is that every little scene that happens in Steins Gate has meaning, and you don't realize it. Like, I can even warn you and tell you like, yo, every little scene has meaning. You're not going to know what I mean until you get to the end. And then you're going to be like, oh, that's pretty cool. So yeah, that's a really good one. So that's definitely number 3 on my list. Sean, what's number 3 for you?
I mean, before we get to my number 3, can you do your impression of, like, Rintaro?
Oh, Okabe. So Okabe,
that's what made me fall in love with him. I was like,
Okabe Rintaro is the main character. He's the mad scientist. And so he has, like, a line where he introduces, like, another character in the show to, like, his crew. And he'll be like, Lab Member 001, Krishna
Des. It makes me laugh every time. Oh my god, I wish you guys could see my face. I'm laughing so hard right now.
And then he says some funny stuff with, like, really, it's some, if you watch it in Japanese, there's some really, really bad English, and it's just so funny.
I can see that scene running through my head right now, what you're talking about. It was beautiful, honestly.
It's like,
beautiful.
Yo. All right. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Enough of that. Mayushi des.
Oh, so many inside jokes.
I know. All right, Sharon. Enough of that. What's your number 3?
Fine. I'll tell you my third one, but then you're going to argue with me anyways, because it is what it is, but it's Attack on Titan.
Oh, God. I should have seen this one coming. All right. Like, you guys, obviously, many of you don't know this about Shara, but she, I think I mentioned this in the last episode, she loves Attack on Titan. Like, it's all, when we first started talking to each other, even just as friends, she sent me like a whole like novel about her thoughts on Attack on Titan. So for her to recommend this shouldn't surprise me. I don't know, contrary to maybe, I don't know how you guys think we plan this stuff, but like Shar and I just kind of think of a topic, and then we don't necessarily tell each other like, hey, this is exactly what we're gonna say. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just like, all right, we're gonna talk about our starter kit today, and we kind of just kind of go from there, right? I have like a very, very loose outline. So I don't know what her top 5 is. She doesn't know what my top 5 is. She might be able to kind of guess it because she knows me, but, you know, and vice versa. But like, Attack on Titan, all right, you're going to have to explain this one.
Yeah. Because when I wrote this down in my little notes, I was like, Aziz is going to like riff me off of this because like I love it so much. I remember like back in the day, I was like trying to get one of my like close friends into like anime in general. So she showed me like, I think it was Breaking Bad to get me into Breaking Bad. And then my choice of entertainment was Attack on Titan. I remember even before, this is me when I was friends with Aziz. Me and Aziz were just friends. I remember I told Aziz, like, yo, I'm going to get my friend into this anime, her first anime. And Aziz was like, it's Attack on Titan, isn't it? I was like,
It's just a very interesting choice. I'll put it that way. Because this is not so something. Good. I love Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan is one of my all-time favorite anime. It's not an anime I would necessarily recommend to the vast majority of people as one of their first anime, right? It's a very violent anime. Very bloody.
Spoilers.
Very bloody. So, you just need to watch the first couple minutes, all right? Like, this is not much of a spoiler at all. Like, but that being said, like, I mean, that first episode, if it doesn't scare you away, it is one of the most gripping first episodes. Like that first episode, if you like it, you are in for a ride, like, because it is one of the best starts to an anime that I have ever seen.
Absolutely, Aziz, because I don't know, if we ever have like a episode on the pod about our favorite first episodes of an anime, it's definitely in my top like three. I'm not gonna lie.
hold on a second, let me write that down. That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. Spoilers. But no, seriously, like, I get it, it's gory. There's a lot of blood. But if you can handle that, it's so flipping good. Because, like, I've had people, like, try to watch it, but, like, yeah, it's too gory for them. I have one girl in my, like, anatomy class, when we're doing cadavers, by the way, said she prepared for the cadaver labs by watching Attack on Titan because it was that gory.
Actually, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. I think I told you this, but, like, the fact that Attack on Titan is more gory then opening up human bodies in the cadaver lab just goes to show that it's very gory. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, at the very least, watching Attack on Titan will probably smell a lot better than being in a cadaver lab.
Oh, for sure. Formaldehyde is stuck in my nostrils forever now.
I took human anatomy. God, I'm going to age myself again. 15 years ago. I think I still smell formaldehyde in my nose. Mm. I still remember that smell very distinctly. And we were working with dead cats. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's a great visual for everybody on this.
Honestly, that'll right prepare you for Attack on Titan.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that. We're just helping you guys. But okay, to keep this like quick and keep it rolling and stuff, like, oh my goodness, I love Attack on Titan because it's such beautiful storytelling. Like, if you watch, like as you said, the first episode and rewatch the entire series again after like the 4+ and the movies and whatnot, oh my goodness, there's so many hints and nods and foreshadowing. It's insane. If I were to make like a timeline of the anime, it's not a straight line. That's all I gotta say. There's so much ups and downs and twists and turns. It's insane. Oh my goodness. I remember reading the manga before the anime like finished, and I remember just like sitting in disbelief at certain parts. Like, did I just read what I thought I read? It's that good. And for somebody who's watched anime for so long, the fact that I can be in disbelief at this age goes to show how unique the story is. And for some people, the ending, you know, wasn't their favorite, but for me, it was very realistic. And like, the anime itself, like, is not realistic in general, because it's about an apocalyptic universe where essentially like the remaining portion of humanity is stuck behind these walls. Essentially, there's three different walls, like wall seen as the inner wall, then wall Rose and wall Maria, and it's based on the hierarchy. Like, the poorer are on the edges of the wall, and the more rich, the higher ups, are in the inner walls and stuff because they're more safe. And what they're hiding from exactly is from these huge humanoid beings called Titans, hence why it's called Attack on Titan, that eat other humans. We don't know why. They're just these big things that eat other humans, essentially. And they're trying to hide from them. And our main character, Eren Jaeger.
Eren Jaeger.
You meet him when he's like a little kid, essentially. And, you know, they're all safe. They're all happy, you know. The biggest worry he has in life is, like, what's going to be on the dinner plate, essentially. And, like, hang out with his friends and making sure his friends don't get bullied and have a happy little fun childhood, right? No. That childhood is going to be full of trauma. Because one of the Titans, and multiple Titans, burst in and stuff happens. Shit goes down. There's a lot of blood. And that's all happening in the first episode. So when I say that it's jam-packed with a lot of fun stuff, it's jam-packed, and you're going to be on a ride. And because it's complete and it's like finished and stuff, if you watch it and binge it, oh my goodness, you're not going to be able to do anything else for a while.
Yeah, I'd say like Attack on Titan is like the Game of Thrones of anime. And in a lot of different ways, right? Like there's a lot of stories going on within the story and there's a lot of blood. But at the same time, it's just amazing storytelling. And yeah, I don't want to spoil too much. So that's why I'm like, just trust me. Like if you watch Game of Thrones, you can kind of see where Attack on Titan is going. I guess like the biggest compliment that I can give an Attack on Titan is that some like how I would watch Attack on Titan is like, okay, if I was the one writing the story, the thing that I would do is this, because that sounds like the coolest thing that could happen, or that sounds like the most interesting thing that could happen. And then it happens and you're like, wait, that was a risk from a storytelling perspective, and they went with that direction. Okay, now I'm kind of hooked. Like, this is really interesting. So it's just very enjoyable. And so if it's something I wouldn't necessarily recommend as a first anime for somebody to watch. However, if you are the type of person that can handle gore and you are the type of person that can handle a longer story, then absolutely go for it.
Absolutely. Like, I know a lot of people like dropped it because it was too gory, which is like respectable. Like, if you're not into that, totally like, no offense to that whatsoever, even though it's like one of my favorite animes of all time. If you're not into that, that's why we said before, if we know the person and they're not into gore, I would not suggest Attack on Titan. I'm just saying in general and stuff. And like, I know some people may not like the main character because of X, Y, Z reasons, but the development of the characters why I need to stay, because there is a lot of growth in all the different characters in the world, and how it's not just the main character that's changing, but like the world around him. The story building and the world building is something to stay for sure. But yeah, that's mine.
Fair enough. Interesting direction. Didn't think you were going to go there. But if we're going to talk about favorite anime, my number two, again, like I'm just laughing at the fact that we were like, this is not going to be the same as our all-time favorite anime. But I have to put it here, because if we're talking about the credentials, like we said at the beginning, we're going to recommend you guys anime that are complete, anime that aren't too long. I can't go with anything other than, in my opinion, the most complete anime of all time. The most satisfying anime of all time. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
I knew it. Oh my goodness,
oh, yeah.
I knew it.
That's how I explain it. That's how I explain it to people all the time, is that like FMA Brotherhood is the most complete anime of all time. There are so many plots and subplots. There are so many little character stories. There are like 17 different themes going on at once. It's a really cool premise. The cast of characters is very deep, and they all have their own roles that they play to make the story like 10 times better. And it all just works. You could write like a PhD thesis on just one theme of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, because it just touches on so many different things. And it's just like, you look at it and you think like, oh, this is going to be just like your typical like action anime, right? Your typical little fantasy, like, oh, look, they got some cool superpowers. But like the way they describe how the powers work and the way that the premise is set, I don't want to talk too much about everything because I don't want to spoil it. But basically, the idea is you have your two main characters, Edward and Alphonse, and those two are kids. They end up losing their mother. And because they're kids, the only thing that they can think of is they want to use this superpower in this world called alchemy, which is kind of like how we know alchemy today. You take one thing and you take some ingredients of one thing and it can make it into another, right? Like the whole like, oh yeah, I want to be able to make gold out of like nothing, right? And mm-hmm. So they're thinking like, oh, we can bring our mom back to life if we use alchemy. But the idea is that whatever you put in, you have to take out. And they did not know what they were getting into. Equivalent exchange is one of the main themes of this anime. And the next thing you know, one of them loses their arm, another one loses their body, and their soul is trapped in like a suit of armor. And the whole story is about, how do we get our bodies back? And oh my God, is it a ride? Like, I'm just getting chills thinking about And I haven't even, the last time I watched it was so long ago. I don't remember all the little details. And Shara doesn't either. And we're like, yo, we got to rewatch this sometime. But please, guys, please, if you have time for a 64 episode anime, please watch this. Like, I'm not going to beg you, but I'm going to kind of beg you. Like, please do it for your own good.
Yeah, there's like a running joke in the anime community, for those that don't know, that like there's Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, like fanboys and fangirls. Like, it is the ultimate anime and stuff, and people get toxic about it. But like, no, there's a reason why it's so good. There's an absolute reason. It's everything as you said and more.
Yep. So I'm going to leave it at that. Shara, do you have any other thoughts, or do you want to go with your number two?
I just want to make it clear, is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood not just Full Metal Alchemist? Because that's completely different anime.
Yes.
Because the manga wasn't done at that point. So make sure when you Google it or like search it up wherever you watch your media and stuff, it's Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. That's truthful to the manga, essentially. Yeah.
It's, oh my God, it's so good. I have to stop talking. Go. Tell me your number two.
I mean, I'm going to talk for an hour. We should just do a whole episode about Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
We should. We should rewatch it and then talk. Yeah.
I mean, for the listeners, like, we plan to rewatch it together and stuff and, like, take notes about, like, everything that's changed and more from our perspective. Because I only watched it, like, back when I was in high school. So, obviously, my perspective is going to be very different, but still, it's going to be amazing regardless. I'm going to have the same amount of emotions and tears.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with some of the scenes that I know we're both thinking of right now.
Yeah.
We'll just say it's a terrible day for Rain.
We have to cut this now. I'm going to start crying.
All right. Go.
Let me hurry up before I start actually tearing up and stuff about another anime that also made me cry. So my second on the starter kit for myself is a little anime called Parasite, spelled P-A-R-A-S-Y-T-E, not to be misconstrued with the K-movie I mentioned earlier.
I was
earlier.
Just about to say, is this the Korean movie? That no. Did this have an anime? No, I'm joking. I know this.
That was foreshadowing.
This is also a really good anime.
It's so good. Oh my God. It's like, very like low key in the sense that not a lot of people, you know, talk about it as much as it should. It's definitely an older manga, and it got adapted into an anime like only recently and stuff. By recently, I mean like what, the past like 7 years or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, but the manga itself was like from the 80s or early 90s. But it's great because, like we mentioned before, I really like anime that's accessible for people that are getting into anime because it's only like 24 episodes and it's complete. It's a full story. You have like a really good premise, which I'm about to speak upon in a second, but also like the good emotions, the development, the world building, and it's just really fun. And it all happens in some 24 episodes, and it's hard to come about an anime that can do all of that and more. But this anime specifically is like more of a supernatural take, like a lot of the ones that we've mentioned before. But yeah, so this one essentially is about like parasitic like aliens that come from like another world and pretty much descend upon Earth and try to like infiltrate humanity by taking control of humans and pretty much like use them as hosts and morph into these like really gnarly beings. And again, if you're not into gore, into kind of scary stuff like that, maybe this isn't your cup of tea, and maybe people are starting to see like what I'm into. Really cute shoujo and stuff, and then like gore. It's actually really, really good.
The duality of woman.
The duality of woman, exactly.
This is like your version.
Tina's blood.
This is your version of like the like the shows like Love is Blind. What are those called again? Like the reality TV
shows?
Yeah, reality shows, but like dating reality TV shows.
Sure.
It's like that, and then also like true crime podcasts. This is like the anime version of that.
Yeah, it's like I always like tease these. Like, I hate like true crime podcasts or shows, but I also don't like Love is Blind and stuff like that. I just can never relate to it, or like, thank goodness I don't relate to it, but I also just don't enjoy it. But then you just see that form in anime, and I'm just like, duality of women. And I accept
amazing.
It.
Amazing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll continue.
No, you're good. You're good. But, anyways, yeah, so infiltrating humans is one thing, but there's this one kid, he's special. There's always that one special kid, aka the main character, and his name is Shinichi, if I'm pronouncing it right.
Shinichi.
Just 16-year-old kid, you know, he's a nerd, he wears glasses, you know, like nobody really like looks at him and like thinks like he's the coolest kid on the block, essentially. But when the aliens descends upon Earth and infiltrates his body, but he doesn't do it correctly. And he ends up just infiltrating not his brain but his hand, so the alien kind of comes and sprouts from his hand and tries to control him, but he can't really do much. But Shinichi also changes within himself, not because of the alien, which physically changes him to be this more attractive looking person that can get other people attracted to him.
Yeah, dude, he got like a complete glow up.
100%. Talk about glow ups of the century. But the fact that he glowed up, not just from that, but also from like developing within himself and stuff, and like learning from people, you know, the girl he really likes and like other individuals, which again, I don't want to spoil and stuff, but it really shows character growth, transformations, metamorphosis, both literally and figuratively. And there's certain scenes I literally can picture playing in my head right now that literally make me cry, because cinematography is absolutely beautiful and absolutely stunning. The OST, which is the original soundtrack, so the music playing in the background, also is absolutely incredible. Like, the fact it's so cinematic within itself, you feel like you're watching a very long movie, aka 24 episodes, but a beautifully well-done movie that's supernatural, but isn't just, like, shooting and, like, aliens eating each other and stuff. It's actually, like, really crazy seeing the character himself grow to be the person that he is and have an impeccable ending that he does, which, again, I won't say anything, but it's very well-rounded in that sense. And I suggest to literally everyone, given this is my second one, my second favorite, like, on the starter kit, it's still something I would recommend everybody. Because it's so easy accessible, because it's so quick to pick up.
As long as you're okay with gore. But yeah, I can totally see it. I don't have too many thoughts, because this is also, like, an anime that I thought about putting on there just because of all the reasons that you just said. Left it out ultimately just because gore. And I know that that's, like, that's a bar that not everybody's able to climb. But if you are cool with it, yeah, it's a ride. It's a ride. And it's just kind of funny the way that it worked, where it was like the best thing that could have ever happened to Shinichi is the fact that he got, you know, his hand taken over by an alien.
Only that can happen to all of us.
I'm glad it doesn't. I don't need a parasite inside me. I'll take my character growth in other forms.
Teach their own, I get it. That being said, should we drum roll into some honorable mentions before we get to our number one?
Get a little bit of suspense going on.
Yeah, exactly, Aziz. How about you lead the way?
Okay. Man, there are so many, but I don't want to spend another hour talking about all the other different anime.
We talked a lot. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we did. Guys, we were planning for this episode to be a lot shorter than it ended up being. We thought, like, oh yeah, we're just gonna list off like 10 anime, it's no big deal. Yeah, no, if you're gonna get us started to talk about anime, we're gonna talk years off. But hey, that's why you're tuning in. So, hey, all right, without further ado, the first one I'm gonna go with that I wanted to put in so badly just because it's so different. I knew you would never like recommend this.
I already know what it is.
But like, it doesn't fit our criteria at all. One Piece, like I mentioned earlier, it's such peak.
I knew it.
It's peak fiction. It really is. And maybe I have like
so long. It's so long.
But like, you gotta do it. It's so worth it.
It's good. But like, for a starter, why? Listen,
because it's just like a start, and you don't have to think about anything else. You're just like that could be like a, like, I know a lot of people that started watching, they don't even watch a whole lot of anime, but like, they'll be like, yeah, dude, I love anime because I love One Piece. And that in itself is like good enough to get you into other types of anime. A lot of us started out with shows like One Piece, like, you know, a show like One Piece, or a show like Naruto, or a show like Dragon Ball Z, or a show like Bleach, you know, whatever it might be. It's like these types of shows, and maybe I'm just thinking about like some of us when we were younger. But like, out of all of them, One Piece is probably the best. And so that's why I was thinking about it. And the fact that it's still ongoing today, and there's so many memes about it in the anime community and not in the anime community, but it's stuff that like, even if you're like, well, okay, I don't want to like, I want to watch anime, but I don't want to like, you know, super hardcore about it. It's a very easy, casual anime to watch. It's like the peak of imagination, honestly. Like, it's so creative. And it's got its flaws, especially as an anime, given its pacing. Like we said, like, it's over 1,000 episodes and it's not ending anytime soon. But, well, I guess technically it's going to end in like maybe 3 years or something. But yeah, so I really wanted to recommend it, you know, all that being said. But I'll have to take it off.
I'm just teasing. Like, no, you need to watch it. Yeah, I need to watch it. No, the thing is, like, I watched it as a kid. like back in the my day when it was like on TV and like I'd stay up past my bedtime, I'd be watching it and I really enjoyed it and be excited for the next episode every week. Like, it's such a great anime. Like, again, jokes aside, I'm teasing Aziz the entire time, but jokes aside, like, it's such a good anime because it's literally like the peak of anime. Is that the best way to explain it? Like, you said it really well when you said it's like creativity in a nutshell, because it's so imaginative, it's so fun. It's what anime is. That's the core of anime, that creativity. And that's what you love to see, honestly. And that's why I love One Piece too. And I need to continue it. But like, because of the 1,000 episodes plus, that's what's a bit daunting for myself. So I really want to like give it its honor and its respect by like sitting down properly watching it. Or at least like watching it in like a way that like I'm not kind of skimming through it, because it's well deserving for all the praise that it has and still continues to have.
I'll put it like this. If the episode number is not daunting for you, watch it. Because honestly, it might be one of your all-time favorites, even compared to a lot of the anime that we listed today.
So, absolutely.
Should I name some other ones, or do you wanna go and say something, or how should we do this?
I mean, heck yeah, I'll just jump right in and just tell you some of my honorable mentions. Why not?
Go for it.
You know how much I want to talk your ear off right now?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
I mean, like, man, you already stole Steins Gate for me, so I can't say that. But that's definitely one of my honorable mentions. I love the time trippiness, the lovable character, the sci-fi. You guys just rewind and listen back to what Lizzie said. That's pretty much what I think. But, like, also, another big one that I really love is Dangers in My Heart. It's a new kid on the block, too, honestly.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's not really complete at all. It's just...
No.
Yeah, so, okay, so why are you right? Especially since, like, the main character, you know... It takes a second for him to grow on you.
Oh, I'm gonna get called out for this one for sure, because of the main character. He's a bit of a weird kid.
I mean, so is the girl.
They're both very weird in different ways. That's why I relate to them.
Yeah, they're weird in different ways.
I tease these, like, yo, they remind me of us. Like, we're both equally as weird in a way.
Yeah, we're weird, but not the weird that they are. Well, actually, I would say I'm definitely not Ichikawa. I'm not Ichikawa, like the main guy weird. That's not quite the weird that we fit in, but
I'm definitely Yamada, the main girl. Yeah. Aziz is nodding in affirmation.
Okay, that's fair.
He's like, yeah, actually. No, okay. Going off of that though, like the reason why I suggest this is because of all the stuff I said that I feel is missing in stuff like Signs of Affection, because you again grow with the characters, there's small moments that make them more lovable. And the fact that they're growing within themselves is really cool to see, and they're accepting themselves for who they are. Like, the main theme about this anime specifically is that even though they're in middle school, they're learning how to grow up in their own way. Kind of going through puberty, some would say. But, like, growing up in the sense of accepting themselves and accepting that other people are growing with them, and how you can grow together in a way. And in this case, it's growing together with somebody that you really cherish and that you look up to. Not just as somebody on like some pedestal, but as an equal in a sense. And that's what I really love about these two characters. They're very lovable. As weird as they are, they're two middle school kids. Of course, they're going to have some immaturity and stuff. But that's the lovable part about them. And because it's not complete, obviously, I don't know how it ends. Kind of like Jujutsu Kaisen. But I really fell in love with the characters so quickly and so madly and stuff, because they're just so relatable in a lot of different ways. So that's why I would suggest Dangers in My Heart, to be honest.
All right, fair enough. Interesting.
Yeah. How about you, Aziz? What else?
I'll go with one more.
Okay.
And I'll go with Hunter Hunter. You know, another longer shonen. Ultimately, so a shonen, we talked about shoujo, how it's targeted towards younger women. A shonen is usually targeted towards younger men, right? Of that same age range, you know, like kind of like that middle school, high school. But as a, you know, as an adult, you can still very much enjoy it. Especially a show like Hunter Hunter is a classic. It's kind of like it's not quite like Dragon Ball Z old, but it's like close. It's like the 90s, you know, and it has that type of art style, that type of storytelling, a really cool adventure, great world building, and the way that like the power system is described. It's complicated, but it's at the same time not that complicated. Very imaginative, very creative. Ultimately, couldn't really recommend it as a first anime. I definitely think it should be, if you like action adventure fantasy anime, it should definitely be one of the first ones that you watch, just because it's a classic and like a lot of tropes today come from Hunter Hunter, like the tournament arc that is a meme that everybody knows. Basically, you know, TLDR, tournament arc is when the characters fight in a tournament randomly in part of the story. And Hunter x Hunter and Yu Yu Hakusho before it, which was written by the same manga author, peak tournament arts. But that being said, reason why I didn't put it on my list is just because it ends in a good spot in the anime, but the story itself has not really ended at all. It's not quite done yet, so I don't want to fully recommend it. But if you're into, like I said, action, adventure, fantasy, anime, Hunter x Hunter definitely needs to be on your list.
It's so top tier, Hunter x Hunter. Like, I've watched it, like, years later after its release. Like, I literally watched it, like, last year, to be honest, because it is on the longer side, like, maybe, like, 140.
I think it's, like, 140-something, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, obviously, it's not the daunting. Like, that's fine for me. It's just that time. Like, you know, at the time I was a student, you know, I'm also working, like, a couple jobs and stuff. It's just time. But, like, once you put the time in to watch it, oh my goodness, it's such a ride. And, like, it takes a tailspin near the end. It's crazy. I remember, like, I was snapping Aziz, like, my literal real-time reaction to a certain scene. I was like, what is going on? Oh, my goodness. Because, like, it really takes a tailspin. But, like, because you are so, like, enamored with the characters that, like, you really, like, feel for them and stuff. So, definitely good choice.
Yeah. What I love about Hunter x Hunter, and I love about some of these longer running shows, is that you have so much more time to bond with the characters. Mm-hmm. So when stuff goes down, you feel it a lot more. And Hunter x Hunter is a great example of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, another one that's also not that long, but also really fun, and you really connect with the characters. Oh gosh, you're gonna make fun of me for my next one. My final honorable mention.
Okay, go for it.
Ghost Story Stub. It's all good.
All right. I mean, we should put a caveat to Ghost Stories. Ghost Stories, you have to watch it as a dub, number one.
Yes.
Because the anime itself is not good. The story is terrible. But what makes Ghost Stories so
selling it.
What makes Ghost Stories so fun is you watch it in English because the voice actors just trolled the entire time. And basically, like, when they got the rights, this from the Japanese studio, they were like, as long as you kind of stay on track with the story, we'll give you the rights to it.
They were off.
No, they stayed on the story technically, but like, technically,
but yes.
Yeah, technically they stayed on with the story, but oh my gosh, like, it's definitely like a lot of pop culture references from the early, like, 2000s, late 90s. So if you don't know them all, some of the jokes are going to go, like, right above your head. But if you do get them, it's, oh my gosh, it's so funny.
It's so hilarious. Me and Aziz, like, binged it, like, within a couple days together. And, like, oh my gosh, it was, like, the best time of my life, honestly. We were trying to rewatch it, like, again, as, like, a tradition at this point, because it's that good. And, like, just a fair warning, the comedy is a bit on the cruder side. So if you're okay with something that's a bit more on the crude type of, like, a NOS, you know, safe for work type of humor.
Yeah, not safe for work, not PC necessarily. But
not PC, yeah.
It's really funny if you can.
But if you're into that, yeah, exactly. If you pass that, if you're into that, it's such a fun ride. I suggest it to a lot of people that are into that type of humor because it's so flipping funny because the characters are hilarious when it's within and of themselves. But, like, I love the voice actors because you can tell they had fun. You can tell they had so much fun, recording and stuff. And you can see it in the type of humor they had, the type of jibs they had back and forth. And honestly, it's a tradition. I want to watch it every year now, like a nice Christmas movie.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
All right, Shara, we've done enough. We've done enough, you know, pushing it aside. Right?
I know. Everybody's like, can you just tell us the number one already?
Roll, like, right?
Can we insert a drum roll?
We should. We'll have to edit that in later. The narrator, they did not edit the drum roll in.
Yeah, we're too lazy.
They were too tired. Okay, without further ado.
Let's get sponsors.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I don't know who would sponsor us at this point, but if you would, hit us up on Instagram.
Sponsored by the Level Up Anime Podcast. Can we sponsor ourselves? Does that work?
Level Up Anime.
Yay, Level Up Anime. Anyway, sorry. Right, we should stop pushing it aside. I know you guys are on the edges of your seat. Aziz, tell me your number one. Tell me. All right.
Without further ado, my number one is arguably the most popular anime of all time.
Even more than Full Metal?
Full Metal, yeah, Full Metal's super popular, but I think I think this one is, like, even the most casual of Netflix watchers would know this.
Okay.
I'll go with Death Note.
Nice, nice.
Death Note, I do think it's the easiest, it's one of the easiest anime to get into of all time because it's nothing like too out there, I guess I would say. Like, it's really just a battle of wits, and it's like the main character gets this book that when he writes a name in there, they die. He doesn't realize it until it happens, and then he's like, oh shit, there's a lot of things that I could do with this. And you just watch this like straight-laced goody two-shoes boy become an anti-hero, and mm-hmm. it's a really, really fun ride the entire time, seeing like kind of like the, you know, his trajectory, if you will. And it just ends up being like a whole battle of wits, because this is like, yo, he keeps digging himself into a corner, and you try to see if he can get his way, you know, get himself out of the corners that he's digging himself into. And the way it all works, like, don't take it too seriously, but it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Like, you know, it is Death Note. It's a notebook with a lot of death. Spoiler. So, yeah, it's a honestly really fun cat and mouse type of anime, in my opinion. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, back and forth. There's a lot of, like, okay, who's outsmarting the other person stuff. There's a lot of mystery. And you're like, oh, damn, he's really smart for thinking like that and stuff. And really stands the test of time again, because this is an old anime. But it's really good. I had a friend who, like, wasn't really into anime. Like, she was open to it, but, like, she wasn't really into it. But, like, oh my gosh, she was so gripped by Death Note. I remember on the very last episode, I remember she, like, stopped herself at the very last minute. Like, sure, I don't know. I don't want to finish it. It's so good. Like, I'm so emotional right now. And, like, the fact that, like, somebody who's not even into anime was, like, that invested, you gotta give it its credit, where credit's due, honestly.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that don't really watch anime that have watched and enjoyed Death Note. And mm-hmm. so that's why I feel like pretty confident in recommending it, because it kind of hooks you in the ways that a true crime documentary hooks you, where it's just kind of fascinating at the end of the day, seeing like this person go from, like I said, a goody two shoes to a killer, and like kind of watching and then trying to see how he can get his way out of getting caught. And it's just, oh man, it's really interesting. And there's so many plot twists. And it's just such a ride. And I think even the most casual of watchers would find enjoyment in it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great starter for sure. With that being said, I should probably say my number one at this point.
Yes, go for it.
Oh my goodness, Aziz. I feel like you already took my thunder. Because my number one, drumroll please. Boom Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Wait, surprise, no surprise. Way. No way. That's what you ended up going with your number one? I mean,
it's so good.
I respect it. Said. Yeah, I respect it. I respect it because it was number two for me, but oh shit, number one. Maybe we should have planned this out better.
Yeah. Oh, good. I mean, I love that we're on the same page in many ways. We love to see it. But like, honestly, you guys just rewind the timestamp XX whatever and just listen back to our feedback about how amazing it is. But like I said, it's a great anime for people like to start off with, because there's so much going on. Great, amazing, captivating first episode. Great, amazing, like, subplots and themes that aren't just the main plot about, like, you know, being with family and stuff and finding your way, but like the world building elements, like everything you love about anime is all rolled up into one in Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. Obviously, you have to, you know, spend some time watching, because, like, I think it's like 60 something episodes.
64, yeah.
64, exactly. But it's, like, really good. It's just amazing. And I'm not going to, you know, harp on it anymore because we talked about it enough. But it's my number one for a reason, guys. Please watch it. It's so good.
All right. We just talked your guys' ears off. And you probably got lost somewhere through. Like, wait, where are we at right now? What, was this number two or was this number three or something like that? So, Charlotte, let's do a quick recap on what our top five anime starter kit anime are. You want to start? You want me to
let's
start?
Let's do it. Let's do it. How about you start? Start off.
All right, let's do this real quick. So I had said number five, Cowboy Bebop. Number four, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Number three, Steins Gate. Number two, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. And to top things off, number one, Death Note. What about
you? Nice, nice. All right, so my number five was Jujutsu Kaisen. My number four was Nana. My number three is Attack on Titan. And my number two is Parasite. And my number one was Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
So there you have it, guys. That's our list of what we believe are the best like starter recommendations for anime. But guess what? There are thousands of anime out there. And we might have missed some. And there might be some from your guys' own experiences or your own preferences where you think, hey, you know, in my life experience, when I recommended anime to someone, this is the anime I recommended and it got them hooked. Or maybe you think to yourself, like, yeah, you know, like back when I started watching anime, this is what got me hooked to anime. So if you have any recommendations like that, let us know. All right. We're going to leave it as a question on the Spotify episode. So you can just go ahead and answer that. If you want to do it via social media, we've got Instagram, again, at Level Up Anime Pod. Shar is going to make an awesome post.
Thanks.
Yeah. She's going to make a post on there. You guys can comment on that and let us know what you think. Like, we want this to be a discussion. We want this to be a collaboration. So by all means, if we miss something or if you, you know, agree or disagree with any of our takes, let us know.
Let us know, guys. Let us know. But, this is fun. This is fun, man.
Yeah, no, like we actually did it. You know, we talked about it and we did it. Look at
we
us.
We did it. Yes.
Look at us.
Look at us. Who would have thought? Not me.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
All right. This is starting to go long. Let's wrap things up, Shara. So my name's Aziz.
My name's Shara.
This was Level Up Anime. Peace.
Bye-bye.